I was walking down, or walking up Bridford Street the other day, a few months ago, in fact, which is this hill here, which is coming up the hill to face the church you're in at the moment. And as I was walking up the hill, I began to see, with my mind's eye, a crown over the church and over the city. And as I saw the crown, I began to see light emanating from it. And I saw the words on the side of the church, "The kingdom of God is here. Come." And I believe the Lord wants us to invite him, the King, into our nation, into our city, into our community, and into our families. This evening we're celebrating the arrival of the King. He came as Emmanuel, the promise to us that God is with us. The King is among us. The King is with us. Jesus has come, Emmanuel. And it's an incredible message that God has given us. Yesterday, I was with a team of a few of us. We had a band, and we had a number of guys who went into our local prison. And this time of year in prison is a very difficult time because it's Christmas. It's family and friends, obviously, not with them. And they feel very, very isolated and alone and away from everything. But we join them every year, as well as sending teams in each week, to celebrate with them. And we had this wonderful carol service, and we had a team with us who did some of the music with their band. And the most amazing thing is the message of telling people that God is with them at this time is an incredibly powerful message. There's guys there who were always very down at this time of year, but you told them that Jesus has come. Jesus is just a prayer away from you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to bring light into your life. And you see their eyes captured by that truth. A few years ago, when I first arrived here, I was invited by a family from the local area to come along to the hospital to pray with their son, who was on a life support machine. And I went in there, and I prayed with the son, and I prayed with the family. And it was an incredibly difficult time for them. But even in the midst of that, by bringing Jesus into the situation, it enabled them to have hope. And the son, unfortunately, passed away. But I meet the lady each year and I see her. And you can see that even in the midst of that very difficult situation, she knows that God is with her. And that's a wonderful message of this season, for the different things that people go through, the different times, the different things that people experience, that God is still with us in those situations. And it's wonderful hearing that story from Emma. But there's many people outside the church who need to know about the good news of Jesus. And a few weeks ago, Catherine and I had an evening off, which is without our son. We love our son dearly. But we had a wonderful time where we could actually go away and have an evening together. And I shared this story with the church a few weeks ago. But we went to a comedy club. Catherine and I absolutely love comedy. There's nothing better than a good laugh, is there? So we went to the place called the International Comedy Club, and we went to see an evening of about three or four stand-up comedians, and we had a good old laugh, and it was getting towards 12 o'clock, and we knew we had to leave, because otherwise our babysitter would be thinking, my gosh, where are they? We're never going to babysit for them again. So it was in the middle of the guy doing the stand-up comedy. And as he was there, we had to sneak through the crowd, past him doing the stand-up comedy. So we walked through, past him, thinking that we got away with it, walked through to the other side, and you could hear everybody laughing. Obviously, they had a joke at our expense. So anyway, we walked down the steps into the Dublin city, waiting to get a taxi. And as I walked down through onto the steps of the city, I realized I left my scarf inside the building. And so I said to my wife, I said, "Catherine, don't worry about that. I can get another scarf." She goes, "No, you won't. You can have that one back because that costs a lot of money." So I said to her, "Well, you can go and get it." she's a brave one in our relationship. So she went back into the building, back in there. But while she was going into the building to get the scarf, I was standing outside and it was raining. And as it's raining, there was an alleyway, an archway, just slightly further from where the comedy club was. And so I stood in it because it was raining, just to get out of the rain. And as I stood there, there was two people there. There's one person who was talking to another, and they were talking about music at the time. And as one person left, I ended up standing with this person. And as I stood there, the person I stood with was actually was a transvestite, a man dressed up in women's clothes. And I looked at him, and he said to me, he goes, "So do you like music?" And so I said, "Well, yeah, I do. I love music." And I said, to him, "Well, sometimes I play a bit of music in my local church." I said, "I lead a church up at Thomas Street." And he looked at me, "Yeah, really?" And we began to talk, and he said to me, he goes, "You know, I believe in Jesus." But he said that all the churches, or anywhere he's been rejected. So I said to him, I want to say to you as a leader of a church, I want to say sorry for the way the church has treated you. I said, Jesus loves you as you are. Jesus' invitation to you is to come as you are. And I said to him, we meet up every Sunday, 11 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock at night. Please, you're welcome to come anytime, and we'll look out for you and make sure that you feel welcomed and know that Jesus loves you. And he said to me, I wasn't expecting to hear that this evening. You see, that is the message of great hope that we can bring to those who need to know the love of Jesus. And so it's an incredibly exciting season of great hope, even in a time of great darkness. The angel said to them, these are the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And in Isaiah, we heard already, it says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." You see, the coming of this child was ushering in a new era. The era that Isaiah points to is that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And so for those walking in darkness, those living in the shadow of death, a great light has dawned. And I love the imagery of a light dawning. It's the first appearance of light. It's like those who go around in darkness and think, "I've got no hope." Those who go around in darkness think, "Well, is this all there is to it?" And we saw in the video many people who are going around thinking, "Is this it?" And you see, the first appearance of light is hope breaking into the darkness. The message of Christmas is that those walking in darkness have seen a great light. God has initiated a plan to bring each one of us out of darkness and into his glorious light. He revealed his plan to the prophet. He says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." The sign is this, that God is at work. Why? Because the virgin will be giving birth to a son. That is a work of God. The promise is this, that the child that comes will be no ordinary child. It will be, in fact, God himself. And then we can fly forward hundreds of years and we see the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. And it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream," that is Joseph. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this is the time, this promise of Emmanuel. Jesus is with us. The promise is that God is with us and God is not far from each one of us. In Acts it says this, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should be. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. See, the promise is that God is with us and God is not far from each one of us. In core, this same truth is true to each one of us. God is with us. He is not far from each one of us. The coming of Emmanuel is the dawning of a great light. The light is the hope for those living in darkness. And I don't know if you remember that song a number of years ago by Joan Osborne. Do you remember the song that says, "If God was one of us"? Do you remember that song? I won't sing it because I don't want to ruin your Christmas. But it's the line that says, if God was one of us. But the Bible says, God became one of us. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Another translation says this, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that wonderful? God didn't just speak he was coming, he actually came to his people. He became one of us to show us what God is like. In Hebrews, paraphrasing what it says that God is able to sympathize with our weakness. He went through every temptation that we go through, but was without sin, because he knows we are weak. But he welcomes us to his throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. God became one of us so that he could help us. He understands our situations. He knows about our hopes, our fears. He understands our pain. And he understands the very difficult things that people are going through. But he's not a distant God. But he wants us to invite him, that is Jesus, into all our situations because he cares. Christmas is about the sign, the birth of Emmanuel, the promise that God is with us. Through Jesus, the fulfillment of Emmanuel has come. God's offer of help is extended to each one of us here this evening, whatever our circumstances are. And this is what it says in Luke. Jesus was approaching the town gate. It says this, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." And that is the same God, that is Jesus. Jesus has come to help his people. And it's a wonderful season of hope because Isaiah points to what Jesus is like. It says that he's a wonderful counselor. I just love that, don't you? There's nothing more that we need now is wonderful counselors here. And Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit as the counselor to reveal Jesus to us, to make his presence known to us. And when we invite Jesus into the situations, he is with us in those to counsel us, to help us through them. He's mighty God. I'm glad he's a mighty God, aren't you? He can overcome whatever things we go through because he's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. He's not like our earthly fathers who are here one moment and gone the next. But he's eternal. What he says is forever. His nature and character is revealed to us forever. and he's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace into the storms of our life. He brings an answer to the situations we find ourselves in. When Catherine and I arrived in Ireland, it's nearly 4 years now. Gosh, it doesn't time fly. We arrived and we'd been here a few months, and we were invited by some friends of ours to, after Easter, to stay with them for a couple of days. And they live up in Mayo, and so we'd stay with them for a few days. They showed us around the area. It's a beautiful area on the west coast. And we were driving home about 15 miles outside of Dublin, and our car began to steam, sort of pouring out of the front of our car, and the engine started making really sort of horrible noises and started grinding, and suddenly the engine cut out, and I had to pull the car to the side of the road. And so I thought, oh no, the car's just gone. So we pulled in, the car stops, and so I got out of the car, I popped the bonnet open. And the only reason I popped the bonnet open, I don't know anything about cars, but it's just so that Catherine thinks that I'm doing something and it's going to be all right. So the bonnet's up here, I'm looking at the steam pouring out thinking, God, I've got no idea what I'm going to do here. So anyway, we ended up having to phone the garage, and eventually, sometime later, the garage people picked up the car, and over the next couple of days we found out that to put an engine in it wouldn't be worth it. They didn't particularly want the car because it wasn't worth anything. So basically we lost the car. And when you first come to a city, into a new country, everything's difficult, because what you know doesn't actually happen in the same way as what you expect. So we're thinking, how on earth are we going to survive in Dublin without a car? And so we thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So the only thing we knew what to do was to pray. So we said, Lord, we've lost a car. We haven't got a car. I've got no idea how we're going to get around. And so we kind of left it at that. And so a few days later, it was a Sunday, I was here a Sunday evening, and I came into the building, we had a service, I bumped into a person I hadn't seen for a while, and he says to me, oh, how was your week away? I said, oh no, it's fun, I had a great time. And he goes, is everything all right with you? I said, oh yeah, we're doing well, except for the car blew up. And he goes, oh, all right, really, okay. He goes, well, he looked at me kind of thinking, said, well, have a chat with me after the service, and I'll have a chat with you about it. So anyway, the service went on, I didn't really think about it, and he grabbed me at the door and said, do you want to come with me? So I thought, okay, whatever. So I climbed in his car, and we drove out to Tala, and we went out towards an industrial estate. And he was in the car, he was a bit of a character, and he phoned on his mobile phone and said, is your man there, and will this guy turn up at such and such time? And so we ended up meeting outside this warehouse, and this guy got out of the car, and they unlocked the warehouse, and he pressed a button, like this. And it was a warehouse full of cars. He says, just choose one. So I chose three. So I picked a car out, and he says, well, you can have it. And I just couldn't believe it, because we were thinking a few hours ago, Lord, how on earth are we going to get around the city? How on earth are we going to do what God's called us to do? And so we prayed, and one person may say, well, actually, that's coincidence, but I'd say, well, we prayed to God, he heard our prayers, and he opened the door for us. And it's amazing. Because God is with us. He's with us in all sorts of situations. My wife and I are testimony to the Lord doing things again and again and again. Because God is with us. And you see, we have God's presence in our hearts and in our church and in our communities. And we are called to be God present, to bring God's presence into the situations we find ourselves. That's why the church is called the body of Christ. We are here to bring something of Jesus into situations we find ourselves in. And God is calling his people to bring his presence into a dark, dark world. We're called to be the light upon the hill. We hear time and time again of the gloom of this, that, and that. But I believe it's a time for the church to rise up. For with Jesus, we're moving into a time of great certainty. Because Jesus is Lord and his promises are true. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. And so God is inviting us to invite him, the king, into the nation, into the city, into our communities, into our families, because he brings light into darkness. And just finally, it's the simple things that bring God's love and presence to people. Sometimes we think, oh my gosh, I can't do that, it's overwhelming. But let me tell you just one more story to end. I used to live in a place called Chorley Wood, which is just outside of London. And my mum used to work for a hospice called Michael Sobel. And it's looking after people who are dying of cancer. And it's a wonderful place to give them real quality of life. And they used to have palliative care for pain control, all that kind of stuff. And my mum asked me one day, she goes, would you consider on a Saturday coming up here just for an hour to do teas and coffees for the patients? Just to go around to chat with them and just to help out, because they like to see people and to meet people and to feel. And so I actually hate hospitals, I don't know about you, and I used to be really quite scared of them, and actually it was the last thing that I really wanted to do. But I was going out with a girl at the time, obviously not like my wife, who's absolutely gorgeous, but this is my past. And she encouraged me, she said, I like to do that. So I kind of thought, okay, we'll do that. So anyway, we went to this hospice, and I was, again, quite worried about doing this. But anyway, we went in there, and we got tea and coffee and got a tray out. We began to walk around the different cubicles and different places where people were. And as we began to do it, it was an amazing time. We began to chat with people. We used to sit down on the end of the bed watching Blind Date and working out who was going to win. And we began to have opportunities just to sort of share with people about Jesus. But it was very simple. It was tea and coffee and getting to know people. Anyway, I did that for a while, and one day I was going to my brother, who lived quite near where this hospital was, and I was driving past the hospital, and I felt in my spirit that I just felt the Lord say, I want you to go into the hospice. And I thought, well, I'm going to my brother's house, of course I'm not going to go there. And I just felt in my heart, you need to go back to the hospice, I need you to go back there. And I kept thinking, and I was just thinking, actually, I really want to see my brother. But anyway, being slow of hearing, I thought, okay. And it was during the midweek, so it wasn't my usual visiting time. So I went into the hospice, I walked into the hospital. And as I walked in, I saw a man who I knew from my previous visit in his room, and I saw him. The reason I knew him is that he was blind. And I went into his room, and I said to him, I can't remember what his name was, and I spoke to him. And he said, I'm so grateful you're here, I've been calling out to people, no one's heard me, but there's the telephone, which you could wheel into where he was out of range, because he was blind, he couldn't see it. And he said, if only someone could come and allow me to make that telephone call. So I went in there, got his telephone, moved it over to him, he said, thank you very much, took his phone call, and I left. But what really stuck with me that is the detail of God, that he cared about that man on his own in a ward who was blind, and he wanted someone to help him. And he asked an unwilling person at the time to go back there and to do something for the king. And it's as simple as that. It's listening to God and doing what he asks us, because that's what brings the king among us. And so this evening, what I want to do, just in this last moment before I invite Scott and the guys up to pray, is just an opportunity just for us, wherever we are, to bring God into our situation. And I want to encourage you this evening that the king is with us, the king is among us. Jesus came as Emmanuel to be with us, but also to save us, Savior, to save us. And I just want to, just in this moment, just in your heart, I just want us, whatever our situation is, to bring them to Jesus, because he cares. And I know there's people here tonight, I know personally, who've lost loved ones. I know there's people here tonight who I know who have friends who are dying from cancer and are going through very difficult times. I know there are people here tonight who've lost their jobs. I know there are people here tonight who are going through all sorts of things in their family. But tonight is the night to remind us that God is with us. Jesus is here amongst us. And I want you just to bring that truth into your hearts tonight and say, Jesus, can you please come into that situation? I don't understand it, but I need your help in it. Because God loves to get involved in our lives because he became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. So Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for your people here tonight. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would show yourself as the God who is with us in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Lord, we don't always understand the outcome of the situations we find ourselves in, but we know that you're loving, and we know that one day you will restore all things new. And Lord, we just thank you that you've come to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to invite Scott and his small group, and they're going to come and lead us in prayer.